The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm Nikki Glaser. I'm here in St. Louis, Missouri, in my home podcasting studio. My dream came true. You know, sometimes you put it out there in the world and you say, I want to live in an apartment and walk in the next room and have that be my studio. And sometimes you get a global pandemic that makes your dreams come true. I don't know. I really, when I first thought of like having a studio in my own apartment, like I was like, Andrew and I'll just get a 3-bedroom and one of them will be a studio. I really didn't like think it would happen, to be honest with you. Like I thought that is a little bit of lofty of a dream. Not that that's like not achievable that's not shooting for the moon and landing among the stars. I mean, I just thought I wouldn't get it together enough to do it. Because most things in my life, I don't get together. The things that I say that I want or that I'm going to. Life never goes exactly how it's planned. I was saying this to someone yesterday. I've never predicted right about anything. You know, whenever you go, oh, you're worrying about something and you're like, this is going to happen. And then they're going to. I've never been right. Ever. Like, I mean, I've maybe been in the ballpark, like in the parking lot of the ballpark. But isn't that funny that we always are, you know, thinking about the future and what's going to happen and planning for the future when really I've never nailed it like even close to exactly. And I don't mean like this is going to go bad. Like, yes, sometimes I thought this is going to go bad and then it does go bad. But it always is in a way that I couldn't have, like the badness wasn't the kind of badness I thought. Why am I bringing this up? I don't know. Noah, how are you today?
I'm good.
Yeah. I feel like that was like a lie.
Well, okay, we were supposed to start video next week and we don't lie. And today's Friday. We're recording the show because
that's
travel.
True. Yeah. So this is our first day of video, we hope.
We think.
Head on over to YouTube on videos are always going to be delayed a little bit on YouTube. But so however you like to listen to this, maybe you'll listen to the show and then you'll watch it, or maybe you'll just wait to watch it. You know, like, we're not doing like breaking news on this show. If you want to wait a couple days and just watch it listen for the first time on YouTube, catch up on old ones now until 2 days later. And then I don't know what your sketch is going to be, but I do want to be honest with you. We don't lie on this show. Like Noah said, this is Friday and it's going to be airing on Monday. And then the video will be available Wednesday. We hope that's the tentative sketch. That's the projection. And as I said, we're somewhere in the parking lot of the ballpark getting, you know, screwed on some tickets that we thought the guy is gonna. Actually, I feel like scalpers and I never get screwed in person, but I do get screwed on Craigslist. And it was worth it. Listen to a couple episodes ago. Anyway, it's Friday. I was thinking about this and being like, oh, God, you know, when I listen to podcasts that are daily, do I get like pissed when it's like, not really when they say it is, because it's more fun. If I'm a daily listener, I'm like, I want it as soon as when they're experiencing their lives. Listen, if you want to see us on the like live, go on our Instagrams. Andrew and I are always posting. You can like follow us around live. And then I go, actually, they would have never heard about Thursday from me, because by the time I get to Monday, I've forgotten what happened Thursday. I sometimes forget what happened on Friday and Saturday. You're only getting like the recap of the day before. So if, you know, so now you're getting a treat that you get to find out what happened on Thursday to me, which isn't a whole lot. But I am going to Vegas this weekend, and I went to Vegas this weekend. Let's treat it like it's Monday. Seattle and Oregon, and the shows were amazing. I'm manifesting it. They were the best shows of my life. I came up with an hour of new material that is all just very specific. No ums, no likes, just crushing, like very, I don't know what I'm saying right now, but actually I like my material right now. I don't want new material. I just want to work on the stuff I already have. I want to be grateful for what I already have. I was kind of thinking, like, what if I die in a plane crash and then this comes out, like, Monday? I mean, that's, like, the worst thought. But guess what? I've never been right about anything. So the fact that I'm thinking that it's not going to happen. But what if it did? How weird would that be if you're watching this video and you're like, oh my God, we lost her. The norm death, you know, deaths like that, especially in the comedy community or ones that feel close to you, always kind of make you think about your own mortality. I think I don't know, man. The norm, I'm like so grateful because I don't know that I would have ever gone on a deep dive of Norm or downloaded his book, and I'm going to try to consume that this weekend. I don't know if I would have done those things had he not passed. Not saying like, oh my God, I'm so grateful that he died. Not saying that at all. There's just always like, and I was talking to a friend who was actually mourning Norm's loss, and he didn't know Norm. He was just a huge fan, huge Norm fan, as is every white male in their from the ages of 32 to 50. Those men are going to need your extra, they're going to need your support. This, if you have a man in your life who's a fan of Rick and Morty and what else does this do these kinds
Family
of people?
Guy?
No, I don't know. Family Guy. Maybe. No, I think I think these guys are too, they're beyond Family Guy at this point. But like, white guys, and I'm not doing this as like, white men need your help. I'm making a joke about like, men love Norm Macdonald. I used to say that like, my ex-boyfriend, I'm gleaning this all from my ex-boyfriend who I really trust his sense of, his sense of humor is top notch. And he loved Norm Macdonald like a, he is suffering this loss in a major way. And there's something beautiful about that for me because I get to see someone I care about like actually like being really emotionally invested in someone they didn't know. And I think he's seen me in the past cry over celebrity deaths or like, I remember we used to make fun of people that were like, Robin Williams died, I'm gutted. People would be like, I'm gutted. And we would laugh because if you're posting I'm gutted on Facebook, which is a very, like, I get it, you're very sad. What are you going to do when your mom dies? Or, like, I'm double gutted. Like, where you got to have a bar for it. But I, you know what? I actually don't subscribe to that kind of notion anymore. And I doubt he does either because I don't think he knew how much he would be affected by Norm passing. And it was really, it's just sweet to see men who sometimes maybe don't want feel their feelings or like feel not entitled to their feelings, really upset about Norm's passing. Because you know what it is? It's like, you know, he was saying to me, my ex-boyfriend, we were talking about Norm and he was like, you know, I'm a big Elton John fan, Bruce Springsteen. Like, I don't consume everything they do. If they come out with a new album, I'm kind of like, I don't even like Jeff Tweedy. You can't keep up, like, but he's like, there's something about Norm I was consuming everything he did right away. Like, it was, you know, it's like me and Taylor Swift, but like on a lesser level for sure. I don't mean to like play like who's a bigger fan, but no one should be as obsessed with Taylor Swift as I am. And he said that he was very touched because people reached out to him immediately when Norm died and were like, are you okay? And he felt like, even though he didn't know Norm, that he felt like it's so nice that someone connects Norm with me. Like that, you know, when you're a fan of someone, it's nice to be like, oh, if something Taylor Swift in the news and people, like when Folklore came out or Evermore dropped out of the blue, people were like, Nikki, did you hear? Right. Like, it feels good. Noah, do you have any celebrity or person maybe you've never met, let's say, or maybe you just, you know, you've met a lot of your like favorite people, but someone you don't know personally that if they passed, you would need some like support getting through it?
I don't know. I think I've definitely been privileged enough to meet a lot of celebrities or musicians that I like through work. Yeah. I think, though, with what you were saying before, like when people get really upset, I was thinking about it, and I think like with comedians, what I appreciate about comedy is how comedians see, interpret, and then talk about the world. And maybe it's just like not having Norm's point of view, especially now when there's like so much pandemonium.
Yes.
Like that's a great loss for people who enjoy his comedy.
He had a great set right at the beginning of COVID, right before things shut down. I really implore everyone to go watch it. You can just Google Norm Macdonald COVID set. And it's just talking about, you know, it brings you right back to March 2020 or like, you know, March probably 10th, 2020. And he's like, well, it's good to know what we're all going to die of. We just don't know what in what order. And he's just talking about, like, just, you know, I'm going to do jokes up here, but just know that I'm thinking about COVID, or coronavirus, he called it. You know, in the early days, we were calling it coronavirus. I'm thinking about the coronavirus the entire time. And it was just, you're right. Like, I always say that comedians aren't as special as musicians. Like, I always want to be a musician because the emotions you can elicit from a song for someone seems to be more powerful and meaningful than a comedy bit. Although we all remember comedy bits, they kind of shift the way we think about things. Songs can do that too if they're like the lyrics are good enough, but not as often because you don't get as many words. But I think that you're right. Like when a musician passes, you're not like, how am I? I want them to write a song about COVID, or I want them to write a song about Trump. I remember, you know, so often I thought of Greg Giraldo during Trump times, you know, all the time. Was like, what? I mean, I thought he would probably wouldn't survive it because he would be so angry. I just pictured him on the Larry the Cable Guy roast going, "Ah, why are you so famous?" Like just having a meltdown. That was one of the best moments. In addition to Norm Macdonald's roast of Bob Saget, which if you haven't seen as well, if you're not a Norm Macdonald fan, what are you doing with your life? I mean, go on a Norm, you know, like there's so many clips right now circulating. Just indulge in them. Even if you're like, I know this guy from SNL. I didn't care for him then. Just give it a chance because he has so many different facets. But I think you're right, Noah. Like that makes me feel good about being a comedian because we're valuable in the present. Like musicians can capture a zeitgeist and a feeling of like, oh, the song takes me back to the 90s or whatever. But comedians need to process things for you in the moment. And that's kind of like how we work. Like we work in the moment. Like that's why old material doesn't work anymore because people want to hear from us right away. And we don't want to hear about old stuff. We want to hear about, please help us understand what's happening right now. And I don't think we rely on musicians as much for that. So you just opened my eyes to a value I have as a comedian that I didn't realize because I'm always like, God, being a comedian is just not as cool as being a musician. Even though musicians all want to be comics, comics all want to be musicians. And we both all think everyone else wants to be us. No, that really makes me excited to perform this weekend. And honestly, whenever I am inundated with a comedian stand-up who I probably avoid because it makes me feel bad that my own isn't as sharp or as unique or irreverent, especially like Norm Macdonald, his brain worked in a way that like you're just like, you can't 10,000 hours that, you know, like he was just born funny. It seems he's one of those guys. And I always say talent is hours put in, and there are definitely, I hate to use the word, facets of his talent as a comedian that were born of practice and repetition and working hard. But I think he's one of those guys that was just born kind of funny. And I don't mean to make this about myself, but it is the Nikki Glaser podcast. I don't know if I was born funny, you know, like I always try to think about like why, you know, where did it come from? And like my parents are funny and like I was did Maim by Alex, Maim by Alex, Maim, do you remember Blossom?
Yeah.
Big Bang Theory.
Maim. Balik?
Maim Balik. Maim Balik.
Balik.
Sorry, she's Maim. A friend of mine, and I can't say her name. I get really nervous, but I still don't know how to pronounce your last name, Noah, and I get really tense when I think about it. I know now it's Avior, right?
Yeah, you can say it anyway. I don't care.
But like, it's like Glacier with me. I let it go if someone doesn't say it right, but like my true friends, I'm like, really? But Maim and I are not like that great of friends, but we know each other, and I did her podcast, and we were talking. She was like, where did your funny come from? Like, when did you get it? And I always think I got it later when I was anorexic and I needed to develop a personality and I just started acting like my friends who were funny. But like, I always knew what was funny. Conan shaped it. The SNL shaped it. My parents shaped it. My uncle TV, Bob shaped it. Michael Shore, my dad's friend, shaped it. People were funny in my life. But Kirsten was sending diary entries the other day from her. She used to keep a diary every single day of her life pretty much. And So I'm all over her diary, and she has one from when we first met. And it says, oh, she just sent me another thing. I'm going to read this on the break. But she sent, oh, wait, where is it? Sorry. Here we go. Wednesday, the 18th. She doesn't know the date. It says day Wednesday, 18. This is like fourth grade. Dear diary, today in the morning we read Ernie and the Mile-Long Muffler. In PE, we ran for 3 minutes. I tasted blood in my mouth. And she spelled blood, B-L-O-D-E, which I like. On recess, Casey said, since I cut my foot, I can't play soccer. Nikki said, but you don't even play. Which isn't that good of a joke, but it's just so funny to me that Kirsten in fourth grade noted that, like, this girl was like, I remember who Casey was. She was someone that I, like, wasn't scared to, like, just say that kind of stuff to. It's not like she was a dork or something, but she wasn't, I wasn't intimidated by her because I never, like, had an opinion in fourth grade towards anyone. I just wanted to be invisible. So it surprises me that I talked back to someone. But she goes, you know, in recess, I can't play soccer because I cut my foot. And I remember the kids who play soccer were, like, kind of cooler. And so if you played soccer, you were cool. So I guess Casey was telling us, like, I'm only not playing because I cut my foot. And I go, you don't play anyway. Like, I just, like, kind of, like, and that those little nuggets to me are special because, I mean, kids are always funny. They say the darndest things. We know that from Bill Cosby and Tiffany Haddish. But not that those two are related in any other sense than that. But I like little confirmations that I was funny early on. And one other one that always sticks out to me was my Aunt Lynn hated, she was so scared of, she's scared of insects in general, but she hated ants so much. Like, she was so, like, scared of them the way people are scared of snakes and little tiny ants. And I was always just like, that's so, like, I just didn't understand it. And I remember going, like, Aunt Lynn, it's so weird that you're an ant and you're scared of ants, but you're an ant. And I didn't know what the word spelled like, but to me, it was just like, that's, I understood irony as a kid. I didn't obviously think ants and ants were the same thing, aunts and ants, but I remember she was like, that is the funniest thing I have. My aunt talks like that. She's a little bit like me. Oh my God. Nick, you should have, did you hear what Nikki just said? Nikki just said, and I remember being like the way Andrew was describing the other day about that dad commenting on his, like, great football pass, like being like,
yeah,
oh my God, like, I just did something that is special. I don't know what it was. And then I look back and I'm like, oh my God, that was really special. I was actually just recalling babysitting for the Apatows. And I remember I was talking about how funny, Maude and Iris both were, but Iris was a little bit younger. Maude was probably like 7 or 8. And we were making a cake, but it was in the middle of summer. We had nothing to, like, celebrate. And I think it was probably my idea to be like, let's do a holiday we don't even know about, you know? So we were like, let's make a Kwanzaa cake. And I think we were being funny because it was like, that's a holiday that we don't know anything. It's very insensitive to people who celebrate Kwanzaa. I would not do this today with children. I don't want to say it was a different time, but, like, I'm a different, more sensitive person. Made a Kwanzaa cake because we were like, it's the summer. There's nothing to celebrate. Let's celebrate something that we don't know how to celebrate it anyway. And I remember we were singing a Kwanzaa song, which we don't know. And so we sang happy birthday and we were like, happy Kwanzaa to you. Happy Kwanzaa to you. And this little 7-year-old goes, Maude goes, we don't know what your holiday means, but we're going to celebrate it anyway. And I just remember looking at her like, you bitch. That was funnier than anything I could have come up with the refrain to that song. And I just remember being like, you're gonna surpass me in this biz someday. And she was knocked up at that point. But just when kids say things that you go, you are operating on a different kind of level in terms of comedy. Yeah, so she was born with it. Or maybe it's Maybelline or Judd Apatow or being on movie sets with hilarious people. Or maybe it's genetic. I don't know. Let's get someone in here who I also think was born funny. Was he? We'll ask him. My roommate, Andrew!
I don't have underwear on.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Nikki.
Wait, you don't have underwear?
No, I was just fucking around. I do have underwear on. I have 4 layers on, dude. Don't worry about it.
Dude, I watched Ted Lasso last night, the episode that you've already seen.
Okay.
Remember when he goes, well, you know, fear is a lot like underwear. And then she cuts him off.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
It's okay. That was an easy line to miss. But he's talking to his therapist. And he has all these, like, if you don't watch Ted Lasso, you don't need to know that this isn't going to take, you're not going to be left out. But he always has these, like, aphorisms, I want to say, or like kind of little adages. I don't know. That word is definitely not right. But like little sayings that are, yes, like, you know, my favorite one on Ted Lasso was, you talking bad about yourself? It's like Woody Allen playing the clarinet. I don't want to hear it. That's one of my favorites. But he has those little things. But he's talking to his therapist, and she was saying that she was scared to get back on a bicycle after she fell off it. And he's like, well, you know what? Fear's a lot like underwear. And she goes, Ted, I don't want to do this right now. Yeah. And then it never completes.
Yeah.
And I know they're going to pay it off at some point. We're going to find out what that was. But I stopped the TV and sat for about, I'm not going to exaggerate, 20 minutes and tried to think what, because I thought it was going to pay off in that episode. It didn't. So I think they're waiting to the end of the season. I'm dying to know what fear is like underwear. And it doesn't pay off in the next episode either, because I watched the next one. So
you don't see
by
it
the
until
time
you...
this is out, if you want to also guess, I was like, it's underneath, it's right below the surface, and yes, you only need it when there's an accident, or you change it at, you don't think about it until you need it, or mm-hmm, it's always there, or don't use the same one twice, or smell it before you decide it. To, yeah, like, you, fear's a lot like underwear. You got to pick it up and sniff it sometimes because you don't know if it's been used. That doesn't work for fear.
Or you don't see it until it's too late. Like, or you don't care about it until it's too late.
There's something. Do you, you were famously, I mean, you told
euphemisms?
The story. Yeah.
I'm very known for that, yeah.
Well, you didn't wear underwear one time when you were arrested. Took your pants. You had to do a strip, yeah, search, and they go strip down to your boxers, and you in a holding room with 30 other men, like
inmates,
hardened criminal, yes, men, had to drop trow, and everyone had boxers on except you. You were free balling it.
You would think there'd be at least one other guy.
At least
I feel like everyone got together and goes, look, we're all going to see his little dick, all 30 of us, and we're going to laugh at him. I'm like, is this even jail?
The saddest
is this an
part
intervention
of it
for my penis?
The saddest part of it is you trying to cover your penis, but also like trying to look like,
yes,
you're not
half,
trying to cover it.
The half and half.
Oof, that one hurts. Yeah. My soul is like, you. That's the one where I go, oh, Andrew.
The other saddest part is I had a witness. Like my,
your friend was arrested with
you. If
I
was alone, it wouldn't be.
The story
be...
might not have even been remembered. You might have repressed it.
There's been so many stories where I go, why do I could have kept that in and no one would have known. You know what,
right,
I mean? It was something I did alone.
I mean, I bring you on stage now by telling you the story of how we like initially met.
Yeah.
And within, you know, we had DM'd because I asked you to be my dog walker. And there's a story behind all of that. But I DM'd you. I said, meet me at Bed Bath & Beyond. And you met me downstairs. And I was like already like my cart was like kind of full. I was going through with Luigi. I wanted you to meet him. And you show up like a little bit of nervous energy. But I was just like comfortable around you immediately. I was just like, I need to make this guy comfortable. He's like, I don't know what he's going through, but I liked you immediately. I wasn't like
was
judging
eight,
you.
It was 8 years of not getting anything.
Yeah. And you were so sweet, but then you revealed to me within seconds. I mean, dude, seconds.
We were on the street though. I think when I finally told you, I don't know if I told you in Bed Bath & Beyond or.
Oh, see,
I feel
in my
like
memory
we were,
it was inside.
Either way, it was within
next
5 minutes.
To the duvets.
Minutes.
I was like, do you think this one or this one? And you're like, what's a duvet? And I'm like, we've got a lot of work to do. But you told me that you got an AIDS test because as
a
virgin, because you fingered a girl and you bite your fingernails. And I was like, I remember being like, why would this person tell me this? But also like, that's the kind of shit I do. Like the oversharing. And
yeah.
And I'm so grateful that I'm the person that this guy met in order, like I'm glad that he didn't do this to anyone else because I can handle this. And maybe not a lot of people could. I was like, okay, you've come to the right place. Like, you might have been the one in 30 men without underwear at that time, or at boxers.
Yeah.
But I was the one in 30 people that would be okay with you saying that in a job interview. You know what I mean? You got lucky.
I think I just saw it as like we were talking to another comic, and I wanted to impress you. I knew you were like an oversharer.
And you knew that was a funny joke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hilarious.
I mean, it's great because you do that on stage now. You tell the story, and it just sets me up nicely to then... You know, I never told the story of why I did it, but it's literally because I fingered a girl on a cruise and we were outside and the smell from her vagina overtook, like, it felt like I was in a small box with her, but we were on this boat with 50 mile per hour winds.
Yeah, you guys were doing like the Titanic, like...
Yeah,
like arms spread. Yeah, except,
but just imagine Jack being blowing. Like, "What the fuck is that?"
Yeah. Did you might think it was like chum or some kind of like
I thought it was red tide.
Oh my god.
Yeah. No.
It was the smell. So if you fingered her and you bit your fingernails and it wasn't stinky, you wouldn't have done that.
I was really like, I was already very.
That's
scared.
What I was gonna say. I thought you were just paranoid.
Yeah, but it didn't help. The fact that I should thought I, it was like...
Should I say that you fingered a girl whose vagina kind of smelled?
Oh, sorry.
Would that add to the story?
No. Let me say it. It sets me up nicely to go into a little Florida stuff.
The only thing I worry about is that girls are going to be so scared about the smell of their pussy now because men are going to think they have AIDS then. You know
No,
I mean?
No. I didn't have AIDS, guys. So
well, obviously, but like...
No. I'm just saying out there...
If a girl's vagina smells and she's super hot and you have like great chemistry, what are you gonna do? Honestly,
throw her in the ocean.
Come on.
I don't
give the right answer.
Are there vaginas that don't smell?
I mean, like,
isn't there always a smell?
They always are gonna smell, and they shouldn't smell good. It'd be weird if your vagina smelled great. I understand it smelling good after a guy has like fallen in love with you and like is into your pheromones, like. I like the smell of a guy's pits and like body odor when I'm in love with them. But to have your vagina smell good without that, you're kind of a pervert if you like the smell of like just pussy, because that's a nook where a lot of saturation is happening, and it's like there's dirty things down there. For sure.
And honestly, it was a cruise, like you're not gonna have a lasting relationship from a hookup on a cruise. Like, there was nothing involved there. But if it was someone I was dating that I loved, I'd eventually maybe have
No, you don't love them yet, because I feel like if you love them, you've already fingered them a lot. This is like first couple dates, there's just something kicking down there. And it feels like you're smart enough to know that a woman's vagina smelling a little bit like off doesn't mean HIV or like that she is going to give you a disease, although your brain might do that for you, even though you know cognitively that's not
true. When I'm 15 or 16, I was so ignorant. It was literally like my first vagina I ever felt.
What do you do now if it smells like, because I'm gonna start, like, I'm just speaking from my own experience. Like, there are times where if a guy goes down on me, a new guy like does anything to me, there's a part of me that's like, oh, I hope it's okay today. Because I don't know, and maybe because like we talked about the other day, you don't know your own smell because you get used to it. That's why people stink and they don't know. And you go, how can this guy not fucking smell that he smells like this? It's because we get used to scents so that we can smell new ones.
I honestly think I would give another try. And also, like,
would you tell them
if the smell is new to you?
Would you want to know, Noah, if your pussy stank? Like, would you want a guy to gently tell you?
I don't think I could tell her. Not unless it was, like, maybe five hookups in and it's just like, okay, this is
But
really
I think,
gonna...
would you tell her or would you just cut it loose?
I think if I really liked her, hopefully I would tell her. I'd be
what
there.
Do you want to do when you role play?
I go, ooh-wee, that pussy stink.
Okay, well, let's role play. So it's the fifth time you've hooked up with this girl.
Yeah.
And you guys have a great time together. Mm-hmm. And... you see a future. It's like the first person you've really like connected with in a while, and you're like, oh my god, like this is happening. And you went down on her, like, say on like the second date, and it wasn't great. And now you went down on her again, and it's just like, not, there's something wrong.
Yes.
Like, and it's not just you. You've gone down enough girls to know. Or do you think it's you? What's your?
I don't know.
What
it's
do you do?
So hard, because then it's like, if she is aware of it and she can't do it, she's like tried to do stuff for it.
She should warn you then. If a girl has, I think if you're aware of it,
do you have gingivitis of a vagina? Like, is there a vagina that like
gingivitis
or vaginivitis?
Well, yeah, gingivitis. It's called BV
or yeah, like it's called BV.
Oh,
or
bacterial vaginosis.
Bacterial vaginosis.
Yeah,
and then yeah, like the girl should go and get something for that. I personally would not want to be told. But I have a suggestion of how you could handle it.
What?
You say, hey, let's go and do this in the shower. I've always wanted to eat a girl out in the shower or something.
Oh, yeah. But I've always wanted to see what it would be like to put a Listerine pocket pack strip between each of your labial folds and see what happens. I want to do a science experiment.
I just want to put an airborne in there and see what happens.
I want you to douche with this Clorox. Yeah.
What about if a guy had a smelly dick?
I would say something, I think, because, guys are less, less of their identity, I think, and I don't speak for, all men, and I certainly don't speak for any men, but I feel like less of your identity is wrapped up in, cleanliness and being, mm-hmm. Being feminine is very, clean, and that's, how you're supposed to be.
So how would you bring it up to a smelly penis?
I'd say, listen, I fucking love sucking your dick, and love your penis. Like, I'm obsessed. And if that were the case, but I think if I wanted to make this relationship last, even no matter what their penis looked like, I would already be obsessed with their penis. I like you so much. There is something going on down there, and I don't think it has anything to do with, who you are. There's just something that is, not your fault that's happening down there, and I think you should just go get it looked at because I'm I want to suck your dick all the time, and it's preventing that. And it's, I don't care. I literally don't care at all. I've had a stinky pussy before. I would probably make up a scenario where I've had the same thing happen to me and I just didn't know about it till someone told me. And I know this is so awkward, and I promise you it doesn't change the way I look at you or how into you I am. I'm trying to get COVID right now so I can suck your dick. And I don't want to have to do that because I'm trying to lose my sense of taste and smell actively. And do you want me to die of COVID? Because I am licking, nasal swabs at that I find in CVS dumpsters right now, just trying to.
I kind of love it if the guy was just like, you're just gonna have to deal with it.
Okay, daddy.
Yeah, I know, right? What would you do if he was just like, you gotta, well, that's my dick. It smells.
I mean, a guy would never do that. That would make me go, okay, deal breaker. However, Noah, I believe that as much as it would pain me, I would want a guy to do the exact same way. Yeah. I just said that.
No, that was good.
I don't judge you at all. This has happened to me before. I just think that you have something going on down there and you can't even, I don't think you can smell it or I don't think you sense it because you're all the way up here. But as someone that's been down there, just want to let you know, I love your pussy. I can't wait to get back in there. But the way it is now, there's something wrong. I learned that from Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
His niece, Roy's niece has bad breath.
Yeah.
And they're both it can't be that bad because a boy at school is teasing her. They're like, it can't. Oh, honey, it can't be that bad. And they both smell it and they're like, and gagging. And the way they tell her is it's not your fault. I love that. It's because I think that so much of this stuff is you're dirty. You're wrong. You're bad. You did something bad. And even if you are unclean and it is your fault because you don't wash your vagina properly, that's still not your fault, to me at least, because something's going on in your life where you either didn't learn how to clean yourself and that's not your fault, or maybe you don't care because you've let go of your cleanliness because you're depressed. That's not your fault. You're depressed. Whatever reason it is, I definitely would take away
the hardest part about it, though, is if you do say something, the next time you hook up, it's on their mind. The next, it's like,
yeah, but then you can make a joke of it and go, I'm going in. You can make a joke and go, is it still idea. There? Keep the conversation going. Don't make it be a one-time thing, because if you take away the person delivering the news, if you make it so casual mm-hmm. that you don't care at all about talking about it, then the person that is going to feel more comfortable about it. If you're trepidatious, I feel like that's when someone is bringing up something to me that's hard for them to do, whether it be you or any, or even myself when I bring up something for someone, the hey, can we talk? So I don't know what, like, all of that stuff makes whatever's about to come so much worse, because I'm reading their body language and their way they talk, and I'm like, holy shit, this is really bad.
Yeah.
Because the way they're presenting it. Whereas opposed to, like, hey, there's this thing, and listen, this is, like, it happens all the time. Maybe it's just me. Maybe there's something wrong with me that bugs me, but it's this thing. And the more casual you are about it, that's, I think, why with anal sex I've become so far into the shitting thing and, like, being like, you're going to get shit on. If you do anal sex, like, you're going to come across poop. Like, let's just be casual about it, because when it happens, I don't want it to be this thing of, like, we both know what happened, but we're not going to talk about it. Like, if we talk about it, it takes away the weight and the shame of those things. It's almost
if you go big up top, then whatever ends up happening, like, you're going to shit on them, and so maybe a little shit will get on you. It's like when it's like, you know, 40 people died, now just 5 people died kind of thing. Like, you're going bigger.
Last night, they told a girl that her house burned down, and they felt so that she would leave their stand so they could sneak into the bar on this episode. And they were all like, we feel bad, because she ran out of the bar being like, my building's burning down. And they go, no, she's going to appreciate her apartment more than she ever has now, because it's going to, like, you know, when you think you lost something, you find your wallet and you're like, I love this wallet so much.
Yeah.
But
so then you go, your vagina and your butthole smell, and then it's just, then no, it's you just go, your just vagina. Kidding. Just your vagina.
My friend Gabe Kia had a great joke about when he got a felony and he got arrested for dealing cocaine in college. And obviously that was, he just, like, you know, he's a nice boy that just got into the wrong game and got busted almost right away, you know?
That happened to someone else I know.
And he got busted, and also it was the guy that turned him in, that ratted on him, was one of the family of the, like, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Okay.
And so he does this joke and he goes, oh, O'Reilly, you're a narc. And so every time I drive past O'Reilly Auto Parts, I, like, flick it off and send a picture to Gabe Kia of, like, me being like, fuck you, O'Reilly. When really it's just like a kid. Like, don't not give O'Reilly business because of this. But he said that when he told his mom, he goes, Mom, I have a felony charge. And she was like, what? And he was like, and she goes, for what, Gabe? And he goes, rape. And she's like, oh my God. And he goes, just kidding, Mom, it's cocaine. And she was like, oh, good. And so then she was, like, relieved. It's so funny. It happened to me once with a death. Like, the one death that I've had that's been closest to me was my cousin JD, who I grew up with. And my sister called me in 2014 and was like, Nikki, Nikki. And I was just like, oh my God, my dad's dead. Like, 100% my dad or mom died tragically. Like, and then she was like, JD is dead. And I was like, oh, thank God. You know, like, a cousin I'm very close to compared to my parents is quite a different thing. So it was like, there was a release immediately. There was like, okay, oh good. I have gratitude for my parents. It was almost like, you know, when you're upset about something, make a gratitude list, because it made me celebrate the things I now have that I thought I didn't.
Oh, it sucks, though, that we have to go through, like, something that big to realize, like, something's important.
I know. I mean, Norm MacDonald, I'm like, oh, I would love to go see him. I'm, like, really into him right now. And it's like, well, a little too late.
I did get to see him at Caroline's, like, 4 years ago.
Oh, and that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
Did he bomb or did he kill? Because
A little bit of both.
Oh, really? Do you remember any highlights?
He just gives such zero fucks. It's like he goes up there. I mean, zero. Who knew he had cancer at this time? Which, that was another thing I was thinking about with him having cancer, whether it's terminal or not. It was 9 years. It's a great reason to be like, I don't give a fuck if I go up there and talk about Mountain Dew for an hour.
Well, if it helps, we're all going to die of cancer.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking
all
that.
All of us.
I was thinking about this week, and I go,
we all have a terminal illness called life.
Yes. And I was like, why do I get, I'm opening with a bit that I've been a little afraid to, you know what I mean? Like,
that's
fuck
why I say
that.
In our little chats before, I go, I kind of make, it becomes a little bit sad because I go, we could die tomorrow. Let's treat this show like, if we knew we were going to die tomorrow, we wouldn't give a fuck. We would just want to have as much fun as possible. So let's treat this like, because there's always like, I want to work on this joke because I've got this thing coming up. What if you don't have that thing coming up? Like, what would this set be like? And maybe you can still work on that joke because there's fun to be had and in the process. So even if you thought you were dying tomorrow, you still want to do this new joke that isn't completely worked out. But like, if we all did live like that, it would be it might be pandemonium, actually.
But he, you know how Gary Shanley...
There might be a lot of coke dealings, if you know what I'm saying, from the last
joke. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. We're like, we're going to die tomorrow. Me and Nikki are just dead in an alley from fucking drinking too many wine coolers.
We got to get to the news.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he was great, and that's
but pretty- we'll interject Norm stories throughout this. I feel I do want to hear about your experience seeing him.
All right, let's get to the news. Apparently,
you heard it here first.
Oh, you heard it here first. This is a big, big, big episode. We're on YouTube now. Hi, everyone at home. I hope you're having all the swells. Yeah, that's you, and you
too. Comment on my looks below.
Yeah, how does Nikki's Guess legs
what?
Look?
I'm never going to read these comments, no matter what. I just want to let everyone know.
I'll read them and let her know passive aggressively.
No, he won't. No. He will read the comments because he's a glutton for pain. But you can say, I would love to you say nice things because I feel like I'll just feel it in the ether. I won't read nice ones or bad ones. I will never, there's no way I will ever read these comments, ever.
But leave them because it helps the algorithm.
And I swear, yeah, definitely leave them. But just know I will never read them. So if you were trying to hurt me, it ain't gonna happen. But Andrew will read them. So
and then I'll
try to hurt him.
Yeah, and then I'll write it and then on our refrigerator.
If you sorry, Noah.
I was gonna say, just not to confuse people, this episode will be on YouTube on Wednesday and we'll announce everything on our Instagram.
Oh, yes. Okay.
But on this episode, I just want to say, comment below. If you want to comment below anything, and you probably already have at this point, because we're far into the episode, and if you hated it, you stopped watching it. But a lot of people like continue watching things when they hate it.
Yeah.
If you're watching and you don't like this and you want to comment something mean, would you say that to my face in the street? Honestly, ask yourself that, because that should be the litmus before you comment something. Like, you should have to do a CAPTCHA of, like, FaceTiming me, you know? Because I bet you wouldn't, but maybe you're going to write, I wouldn't say it to your face because your face looks fucking puffy and tired, you dumb cunt bitch. I haven't come in a while and I'm angry. Chads. Oh, I'm going to get killed. I'm gonna get.
Are you started. Edging right now? I love it.
I might be.
All right. So first story. Instagram is wreaking havoc on young girls. A study found it exacerbates.
Nice.
Negative body image, low self-esteem, anxiety, depression, and in extreme cases, suicidal thoughts. The study was commissioned by
Facebook. Extreme cases? I mean every day.
Yeah. Was commissioned by Facebook and then buried by its own executives.
Wait, so Facebook and Instagram are...
Facebook owns Instagram.
Yeah. Okay, so it was commissioned by it and then the report was buried because the research was... probably even worse than we can imagine.
I'm sure.
If a 37-year-old woman who has worked on herself so much still has to mute people on Instagram so that she doesn't feel sad, and even body positive accounts trigger me, where they're like girls showing their cellulite or like bigger women being like, I'm beautiful. Even those piss me off and make me feel weirdly insecure. My cellulite isn't as dimply as hers or, there's always just something... If it's happening to me, I know it's the most, pedestrian thing to say, oh, if, social media were around when I was a kid, but I would have killed myself.
Yeah.
I'm not joking you. It wouldn't have been good for someone like me. I would not have survived. I don't think I would have survived it.
I just wonder if there's let's say you had... Instagram since you were, nine.
And I would have been wrong to do that, by the way. I want to say, it would have been the biggest, it would have been the saddest thing because what potential I had and what bullshit that all is that, but I wasn't smart enough or my brain wasn't developed enough to see past those things. So I just want to say that when I say that, I just mean like I was a kid that would have made a very dumb and final decision. So
yeah, I mean, it's tough because of Instagram, because of social media, there are so many platforms and so many different influencers that could be positives for these kids. What happens is they type in like they want to get into bodybuilding, like this is what happens with, and then Instagram will take that and go, all right, well, here's 300 accounts of the hottest women you've ever seen that might write bodybuilding caption in their thing, and then they see the likes that they get, they see the followers they get, and then they look at their 40 followers, they look at their cellulite and think, I'm nothing. I don't know if it's about
followers for girls, though.
Huh?
Like, I think for teenage girls, yeah. I don't know if it's just followers. I think it's just like, oh, I wish my body would look that way.
Yeah, yeah. On top of that, I'm saying,
I guess
I'm
it's
saying,
like the girls with the best sure. bodies have the most followers and like fame. And like, yeah. even though they don't probably think they can get a blue check mark in the fame and the thousands and thousands of likes, they think like, you know, obviously that's what gets that kind of thing. Like the way I looked, I never thought I was going to be Jennifer Aniston when I was in middle school, but the way that I thought I wanted to be that famous in my own yes. world. And so, yeah, I think you're,
I mean, fame
I agree
is definitely, I think, involved in it though. I think that without
people want to be famous so badly.
Yeah. That it's all about going viral. It's all about being big on TikTok. And then their friend has big boobs. So she gets literally a million followers for having big boobs. She doesn't have big boobs. And then she thinks I need breast implants. And then bam.
Journaling today. And I was like dealing with a jealousy issue that I'm having about someone in the business that is like a peer and like and a friend. And I was just like, I was just journaling about my feelings about it because it just, I can't help my feelings, you know, like it's, I'm not choosing to be jealous of this person. And I wrote, okay, if this person gets all the things that I'm scared they're going to get because I don't have those things, or even maybe the things that I do have that this person is also going to get that maybe makes me feel like the things that I got are not as special because now someone else got them, or they're going to be the new big man on campus and they're going to forget about me. Will it change? What will that person get that I don't have right now? Like what am I honestly wanting? And the truth is love and maybe a lot like a life part, like a it might expose me to more people that I will have the best, the richest friends, the not richest meaning like I'm not like emotionally, I mean financially. Yeah. No, I will have the
what?
I will have the, you know, the best. I will have the option to have the best of everything, and I guess that's it. Or I will have enough. I will
have
more money.
Do you feel like this person has love in their personal life and friends?
Yeah.
So that's probably added on to the thing.
It's yeah. not though, yeah. because that's what helped get me there. Was like, this person, I could be jealous of them without the fame because what I really want is what they already have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a partner who loves them, financial security, like just a great outlook on life, just kind of happiness, a strong sense of self. And that the things that they're going to get are not going to give them more of that. So why am I threatened by more people liking this person? Because the things I want, I do not get any of the things that I'm thinking. When I really break it down, like I just want to be happier. I always want like to feel better. And what makes me feel better? Connection, comfort, foot massages. All of those things I can get without fame and have had without fame. Yes, some of those are acquired through money, especially foot massages and comfort. But I had to really like journal about, and I was able to release it because I was like, this is a fallacy. My jealousy is a fallacy because there's nothing true about it. Like jealousy is born of, I guess envy is when you want something that someone else has. And I think it was more envy of like, I don't know the difference between jealousy and envy. I always like back up against those.
They're spelled different.
But that's a big one. Thank you,
yeah,
Andrew.
You're welcome.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah. It's pretty deep. It's like underwear. Wait, can I ask a question? Wait, what was I going to... Oh, but see, I think like you have reached, I guess, it's why billionaires are still upset because they still want more, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's about, at that point, it's just about needing more. Like you've accomplished literally 99.8%. I know, but
I don't want people to forget about me, and I don't want my accomplishments to be diminished when someone else gets the same things. That's almost what it is. And
but it doesn't affect you, I don't think. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. I did the math. I was able to break apart the problem and deconstruct it and go, okay, what I think this person's going to get, the happiness, the comfort, the friends, the cool people thinking she's cool. I already have all that. And also, I know that the last one especially doesn't mean anything, and it doesn't make me feel better. I always just feel like I'm tricking that cool person, and that person isn't as cool as I thought they were because they like me. Mm-hmm. So I always already invalidate that if it happens. So once I was able to deconstruct it and be like, I was able to release it. Like, I honestly am at a point now where I'm like, God, I hope this person gets everything that they want. And I really can say that because I was able to write it out and like, and take the feeling and, I don't know, just pare it apart and go like, this feeling is actually doesn't even have, it's not even true. But the jealousy isn't based in nothing.
My question though is though, like, so like, let's say you were a 16-year-old girl, right? In this world, you probably already have 400,000 followers, right, on TikTok. You're doing well. Mm. You know what I mean?
We're not. These people didn't pull girls that have 600,000 followers on TikTok. These are girls that have
no
followers.
That's maybe what I'm just saying. I'm saying they're looking at accounts that have 400,000. Yes. They have maybe 40, whatever.
Yeah.
What do you say to the girl that hasn't reached anything, like hasn't accomplished these things?
I will say you won't know until you try and you get a little bit of that stuff doesn't bring you happiness. No amount of me saying fame doesn't bring you happiness,
yes,
or anyone famous saying that will make you believe that. You'll have to have your own set. You'll have to live your life, go after the things that you think you want, and see, and really just investigate what is actually, what you're after. What are you after ultimately? Love, happiness, like honestly, money. And then what does money say about you? Well, it means I can live comfortably. Okay, well, comfort and have shelter and food and all that's important. But like when you break it down, you will eventually realize that those stuff don't bring you happiness. But it's so ingrained in us that even I, knowing these things, still get wrapped up mm-hmm. in it. And I have to pause and journal. I have to do it. It was honestly felt like a math test that on you know you would have cheated on. But you know when like you would have to do a quadratic, like you would have to break it down and show your work. I had to show my work of my feeling. Like, okay, show how did you get to jealousy? What's going on here? And then once you break it down, you're like, the science doesn't match.
Yeah.
It doesn't, there's no reason. It was like how I quit drinking. Once I looked at all the reasons for why I drank and that book, The Alan Carr, Easy Way to Stop Drinking, any reason I had to drink, he would disprove and go, actually, doesn't do that for you. It doesn't make you braver. It doesn't make you more courageous. It doesn't make you more social. It doesn't. And once he gave every like I couldn't argue. Yes, it does. He broke it down. I was like, I can't do it anymore. I don't have the need to drink. So now I don't have the need to be jealous of that particular person.
Yeah.
I was able to unbrainwash myself, I guess. Next story.
Next story.
Actually, it goes really well into the next story.
Ooh.
By daydreaming, individuals realize unmet emotional and psychological needs in a fictitious environment. A person can spend more than 60% of their waking time in an imaginary world they have created.
I don't relate to daydreaming at all.
I was going to say, there's three different personalities that were studied. There's the narcissistic grandiosity, the tendency to believe that one is superior to others and deserves special treatment, more likely to daydream about themes such as wish fulfillment, power, dominance, and violence. Separation insecurity, fearing rejection and or separation. They're more likely to daydream about distractions from boredom, rewarding pastimes, and caring relationships. And the last one is anhedonia. I don't know, lacking enjoyment or energy for life experiences. They recall a rewarding pastime and distractions from unpleasant reality. So essentially people either, you know, they daydream about when things were actually good.
I've never done that because it's already done and I am like, it's gone. Like, you can't get it back. I don't even like to go back in the past.
When you daydream, do you actually see things? Like, I'll do it in the car sometimes. In the car on a long drive.
Like, what are you daydreaming about? I mean, you've been interviewed by Letterman in your shower. That's daydreaming.
Oh, I thought that was real. Oh, shit. No, that's what I was going to say.
That was his web series. He was interviewing people in a shower.
Yeah, it was just a tester for his Netflix show.
Yeah, it was a quibby thing that never really got off the ground.
Yeah, I was less expensive than a mannequin they put in a chair.
That does seem like a web series someone would do. Is like, we interview people in showers.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're trying to do something quirky, a little bit different.
It really is. And then you put a plan in there.
Yes.
And then you get a special and everyone tells you it's brilliant. Anyhow, I digress. Should we watch that later? You'll laugh. So anyway, I do that on the shower. I do it. because I take longer showers.
What
do you do in a car?
What are you going
to? In the car, I'll just get lost. I can't. Sometimes I'll drive. I mean, it sounds bad, but like I'll daydream and an hour will pass and I go, I was driving.
Oh yeah, like, people, I have that too, where it's like you all of a sudden go, whoa, I'm driving. Wait, tell me what you daydream about. Are you going past, present, or future?
A lot of times I'll be doing in
or violence.
Future.
The violence was one of those. Like,
yeah,
what?
I daydream about killing like a family of six.
I mean, six. That's hard to find
nowadays. I
daydream nowadays
about driving a bigger car to kill more people.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you daydream about plowing into a head-on into a minivan.
You know what would be dope is driving a smart car into a truck and you demolished a truck. That'd be badass.
Wait, what?
Because you always see like one of these semi-trucks.
But why would that happen if a tiny car, like physically?
Maybe
I don't
it
think
hit a ramp
happen.
And then went through the windshield. Okay. Like a deer
goes
through a windshield.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. A little like, what are those little cars that are like.
A Fiat?
No, the one. Yeah, like a Fiat. Yeah, just like goes off a ramp and then slams into a huge Walmart like truck.
Yeah, like a badass
doesn't kill
driver.
Anyone,
like,
but
oh,
it, like,
nothing can hurt me. I'm a fucking semi-truck driver that takes up nine lanes.
Yeah.
And then a Fiat just jumps.
I love truck drivers, by the way. I don't want to make fun of them. And I think they actually are the most safe on the road.
They
than
probably
anyone.
Love getting made fun of. Freaking.
All right. Well, comment below. What do you feel?
I'll go after them. I'm not afraid. Honk, honk. I do love that. That was great.
That they love it, apparently. I've heard on Reddit countless times, people are like, my dad's a truck driver. Just know that they love that. They love you to go honk, do the honk
blow
thing.
Horn signal.
Yeah, they love it. Or maybe it's a jerk. I'll jerk you off at the next rest stop. Maybe that's why they like it.
You just hold up a sign of a picture of George Michael.
Is that how you jerk people off as you pull it like a crank? What do you daydream about, Noah? Do you daydream?
I used to daydream all the time, and I'm almost like a little embarrassed to admit it. But I used to like daydream about being in like a loving relationship.
Yeah.
And this is like when I was very like a teenager.
Was it Letterman? No. What would
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hart, really? Oh, he is hot. Yeah.
Wait, when you were.
But I used to like. Okay. Think that like my pillow was like a body. You know, I would just like always like go to bed and just like get into like these really long like daydreams. I used to do it all the time. I don't.
Wow.
Not anymore, though.
I really am envious of that. I think it relates to my envy of women who, and I can do the math on this one, and it actually checks out because I can't do it. Who can think about past sexual encounters or fantasize and come from like their mind and like a story they tell in their mind? I have no ability to do that.
Me neither.
If anyone knows why I can't, I'm not one of these people that can't recall people's faces in my mind. There's some people that have the like they can't imagine a face until they see it, like even like their mother.
Have you ever tried to masturbate no porn? Like, when's the last time you just did it with your brain?
I would never even attempt to do that. Like, most of the time I can't even do it with porn.
Can you try it like within the next week and see and talk about it?
Yeah, I feel like it would be like me in the woods rubbing two sticks together to make fire. Like, it would just be naked and afraid. Honestly, it's just
you gotta talk about that on stage. It's very funny to like to just. I mean, I just want you to try. Like, I think it's a high on your own supply.
Yeah, I mean, I love that someone. I think Ashley Hasseltine is the one that said it's like playing acoustic when you just do it with your hand.
Oh yeah,
I love that. Yeah. I can't even. I mean, it would be. I'll try it.
I've tried it and like. Weird people
it has
pop
to be
in.
It has to be someone I actually have a chance with. That's where I fantasize, like the times
not
that
past
I daydream
people, future people.
The times I daydream is when I have potential with someone that's very exciting, like it's on the move but it hasn't happened yet, and I can close my eyes on a plane and just imagine like being in a relationship with them and like how exciting it's going to be when I see them for, like the next time, and like that it's got to be on the precipice of real. And it's always, always about a guy.
Yes.
It's never about like, oh my God, I might get SNL. Like, it's never that. Yes. It's never a career thing. Because those things stress me out. Whereas like a loving relationship makes me feel like, oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
So that, but it has to be someone that's like, I actually have a chance with, not like there's never like a celebrity unless it's a, you know, a celebrity I have a chance with, which they don't want to date me because they like their private lives and don't. And also maybe they just don't want to date me. I like to say it's because they're so private.
Yeah,
that's
definitely because they're private.
That's why celebrities wouldn't. That's why Ben Affleck would swipe left on me on Ryan.
Yeah,
that's because it. He knows I talk so openly on stage and he wants to keep it.
I mean, he knows your whole act and he would know exactly the jokes that you're talking about.
Who knows? He might be a fan.
I'm sure he is.
That's what they
wait, know. Are you? We changing? I'm like, yes, ending you. And you go, actually, he's a fan. He's a fan.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I would almost guarantee he doesn't know who I am.
Doesn't?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people know who you are that you didn't expect it, like, at times. I mean, there's
I do know that I did an impression of Jennifer Aniston on Whitney Cummings' podcast, and Whitney sent me a screenshot of Jen DMing her and saying...
Wait, what's this?
You didn't know that?
No.
She, what? I was just so mortified because it wasn't that good of an impression. I hadn't like practiced it in a while and it wasn't like, it just wasn't great.
What did Jen write?
She wrote like crying tear. Like it was, I'll pull it up. I probably still have it. It was like an emoji that wasn't
this
the
is
best,
what you need to masturbate to.
But you're no kidding. Does that count? Yeah. It was like, it was good, but here it is.
Just put Zac Efron's face.
She wrote, oh Lord. 2 exclamation marks and then the emoji where it's like the two, like here I'll zoom in.
I mean that's great.
I did it, you guys. Jennifer Aniston laughed at something I did and said, "Oh Lord, oh Lord."
You know, I bet who's not getting that? The person you're jealous of, and then getting that text.
Well,
yet.
Yet they're probably, you know, they'll get that version, you know. I don't want my heroes to know. Like when I did that, I remember being like, Jen's probably gonna, and I love that I'm calling her Jen is probably gonna see this because she's friends with Whitney, and I know that, like, and Whitney's tagging her in the videos, and I was just like, I know she's gonna see it, and I was just like, no, I don't want my heroes to know I exist. And I love
but
them.
Then part of you is like, I do want
no not no? at all, like, really? The Taylor Swift thing, like, I get into trouble. I love people so much that I have opinions about them that might be a little bit negative. Like my impression of her isn't like glowingly nice. Like it's just like you know, it's like it's not like the best thing to
so noises little, are awesome. I love, like, yeah. We forget how great our mouths can be.
Like our I don't know what that one was, but I do think that I do think though that she yeah I'm glad I review. I remember when she sent it to me, I didn't even look at it. That was the first time I was actually looking at
well,
it.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to.
And the fact that she sent it to me, I knew it was positive, so I just kind of like didn't look at it. But I still don't remember what Taylor Swift wrote to me on the comment that she wrote to me on my thing. She wrote, I think it was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like I looked at it once and I never will again because it was just like, okay, I know it's positive. I can't dissect it because if I even sense that she's a little bit like, ugh, this girl kind of sucks and like this is lame, I won't be able to enjoy her anymore. And I need Jen and I need Tay. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with Why Do I Care? Andrew, why do I care?
Interesting question.
Why do I care?
Oh, man, this is pretty big news. I hope you're sitting down again. Okay, Love is Blind star Jessica Batin?
Yeah. Wait, is she talking to Barnett or Mark right now?
Oh, Barnett.
Okay, so what is the news article about me? Oh, my God, I am.
To a surgeon named Benjamin McGrath, who's not related to that other McGrath guy that had the hit.
Mark.
Mark, yes.
Every morning.
I'm not going to sing.
Jessica. What's her name again? Jessica.
Jessica Rabbit.
Is her name Jessica?
Batten. Yes.
Batten. Baton Rouge.
Obviously,
I,
we all remember her. She ended up falling for. Well, she loved Barnett.
She talked to Barnett like Bug this, Eyes. And then she like when Mark. She got with Mark though, and she would talk to Mark like, "Hey, Mark, will you go get me another glass of wine?" And she'd be like, "So, Barnett, I think that you and Amber are really good together, and I don't know."
Hey, Mark. I'm never going to sleep with you. Like, poor Mark. Like, she just, she couldn't get it up for old Marky Poo.
It's got to suck.
And Mark was a great guy.
On that show, when they fall for you through the door, and then you open the door, and they're like, ugh.
I've been watching her. I followed her on Instagram immediately upon watching that show because I felt like she was
edited poorly.
Yeah, I just thought, like, you know, this woman drank a little too much sometimes, yeah. and probably had like I relate to drinking too much and saying embarrassing things. And I thought, you know what, this woman, I'm not making fun of her for that. I'm making fun of her for like doing a baby voice with a guy she likes, and like,
oh, yeah.
that's I actually like this girl because I felt very connected to her as someone who struggles with drinking, and like that's why I didn't ever audition for Real World or any of those shows, even though I would have loved to, because I knew that I would get drunk and do embarrassing things.
It would have been ridiculous.
I would have been so embarrassed I couldn't live with myself. And so that is, so I felt for her, I followed her. And so I've been watching this relationship kind of take place, and I'm really happy for her. Do I think it will last? No.
Are you projecting?
No.
No, I'm kidding.
I don't think anything, to be honest with you. I do think, Noah, I think you and Avi will last. Think that. But
it'd be so weird if you said you didn't think
but
that.
But honestly, well, I do want to say, though, that I just don't think that marriages that last until death are, quote unquote, successful. And marriages that fail or divorces make a marriage unsuccessful. I think that that is completely false. And like a lot of times I see couples that have been married for like 55 years and it's like, wow, give it up for them, everyone. It's like they just were too scared to leave. Like that's not, they didn't brave it out. They sleep in separate bedrooms and they don't talk to each other. That's not like, wow, they worked through the hard times. A lot of times it is what happens and they go to therapy and they like get through really trying times and they're still in love and like, that's a successful marriage. Just staying married, that ain't successful to me.
Yeah.
You can stay a lot of things. And it's, to me, that's laziness. And that's why I always congratulate people when they get divorced.
I mean, if you're fucking like...
Because it's harder to do than stay.
If you've been with the same person, yeah, for like 30 years, and you're like 68, you know, 70, and you're like, I'm going to make a change now. Like
that
like,
is brave as fuck.
I know. It's wild. It's wild to think I'm going to put myself back out there.
I would say that is up there with trans people that decide to make the transition when they know deep down there, like when they put everything on the line, all the fear and the judgments from other people. Like I do think trans people are the bravest people alive. Like to do that. And even I don't think you're weak if you don't decide to transition, because I don't think that I could do it if I deep down wanted to. It's just so scary, the judgment and like what you stand to lose and the ridicule you stand to have inflicted upon yourself just because you want to be yourself. Like it's too much. So I think trans people should board, trans people who have transitioned should be able to board planes before soldiers.
Oh. Or trans,
because I think it's right. Or at the same time, let me just say that, because I think they are just as brave. And people go, maybe you're gonna comment like, "What I fought for this country to do." Like, thank you for your service. Please board the plane early. I like that too. But no, and they just want to be different and get attention. You're such an idiot if you think that. You're literally such an idiot if you think that trans people, like, who would choose? I mean, it's great that trans people should be happy that they're trans, but like, and for who they are, but. If anyone thinks someone chooses to do that, to like have their family not think they're like, to not acknowledge them anymore, like people, do you know what I'm saying?
No, I hear what you're saying.
Why? I don't understand why people can't get it. That like, that might, that there's a thing that you might not experience yourself that they're going through that might, you might not
that
be able to grasp.
That has nothing to do with you.
But can you grasp the idea of something hard that would be really hard to do that you wouldn't want to do, but you have to do because it's just so part of you? You can maybe grasp that idea, maybe extend it to that, but like.
I would say that people probably go, their thought process is, well, negative attention, still attention. You know, that's what they would say. They would go, well, oh, well, aren't they getting a lot of likes and a lot of outside affirmation?
Okay, so maybe there is someone that's been trans and they did it for attention. Let's just say that those people do exist.
Yeah.
Even that is like so sad, and I feel for that person.
Yeah,
that
I see
they
what
have
you're saying.
To like, they want attention so bad that they have to do this thing. Like, there's this new trend on TikTok, and this is separate issue. There's a new trend on TikTok where people are like pretending to have autism and
because it's getting
because it gets attention, or they pretend to have like a disability.
That's what I'm saying, like that kind of shit.
Like even Garrett from F Boy Island, I couldn't understand why he would want to be a villain. Like, he's signing up for the show where he's lying about who he is. You have to go through the rest of your life, people knowing you're a liar. Like, you're signing up to be a villain. And that goes back to Trump. Like, it's proven now that negative attention equals people will like it and rally around you. I just don't think that someone who's trans that, like, isn't able to now see their nieces and nephews because they've, like...
Because they get, you know, 20,000 followers.
And they have to, like, get injections that cost so much money. And they, like, have to, you know, they have to change their name and, like, all the stuff. Like, I don't think... I can't imagine looking at that person going, God, they just are so desperate for attention. Like, why would you sign up for something that makes you feel more alienated from the people you love in general? Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't get it. But maybe someone can explain it to me. But I don't think that you're going to do a good job.
So do we think Jessica's over Barnett?
You know, I bet finally she is. And she really, like, wishes the best for him. And, like, if there's ever a reunion, like, she will talk so high that dogs will start barking in nearby.
And then she'll turn to her husband and say what?
Get me a seltzer, Daniel, because she's not drinking anymore. And so she's like,
she
really
pounding.
Now I'm just guessing. That's the only way I would hope that a man would enter a relationship with her.
Her husband
is if she had a handle on her drinking.
Her
sorry, Jess. But and to her husband, let me just say, if you're dating someone and when they get boozed up, you don't like who they are, but they love boozing and you go, you know what, I can tolerate it here and there. If the person doesn't have a plan to maybe not do that ever again, it's only gonna get worse. It's never gonna get better. If you're dating someone who drinks and then they're mean to you, or you hate the way that they act and they don't ever acknowledge it and they're not trying to get better, it's only going to get it worse, and you're eventually gonna get divorced and hate them and lose half of your money even if you have a prenup, because I've heard that prenups don't even protect you. Is that true, Andrew? Have you heard the same thing?
Oh yeah.
Were you even listening?
I was vibing.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, that's what happens when I start singing off-key. This is karaoke mode. All right. Let's get to top one, bottom one. This is our Monday segment where we list, we go around the horn. Me, Noah, and Noah, Andrew, and I correct myself, are going to say our top one and bottom one, least and top favorite thing of a category. Today's category is...
Pets
that we have had in our past.
Ooh.
Worst pet, best pet. I can start us off.
Okay. Worst pet.
My dad found a hermit crab on a bike ride in about 1997. It was crawling across the street, and he picked it up and he brought it home to our family. And we were excited because we liked any kind of new pet, right? And we put it in the little aquarium thing, and then we got more for it because it needs friends, you know, because we didn't read about how they're not really social creatures. I don't know if they are or not.
They're hermits.
We got more. That's a good fucking point. Oh, my God. It's in the name. So my dad got some more leave me alone crabs, you know, so that they could all hang out.
I don't want a family, especially humans.
Yeah.
Crab. I don't know what was wrong with him.
We got some solitary shellfish.
I just want to stay in my room, Mom. Crab.
No crabs allowed, Crab. And the B is backwards, like a little sign on a, you know, little rascals.
I would drink at that bar outside on a beach.
That is kind of good. So we got a hermit crab. We got more hermit crabs. And then they just started, like, they're like, I hated them because they're spiders in a shell. Like, spiders in a shell, hermit crab. Like, they are terrifying. I didn't like them. I like them now a little bit, but I still, like, they gross me out, and they, like, their eyes come out and their little, like, tentacles. They're creepy. They're not a fun pet.
And they walk sideways.
I don't like them. As David Spade says, crabs are unsettling. They walk sideways. It's unsettling.
Oh, he says that?
Yeah,
shit.
It's like, it's so, they're just like, and they're just like, I love all animals. I don't even eat crabs, even though it's my favorite food. Hermit crabs are not my favorite food, but like they, so we got these hermit crabs. Long story short.
Did you paint the shells?
No, because I wouldn't want to get close to them. Like, I wouldn't want to hold them. They're so, they're gross. They look like, have you ever flipped over, have you ever seen the flip side of one of those horseshoe crabs?
Oh.
Oh, and they just look like spiders, just like too many legs. I don't like things with too many legs. And so, we just like didn't feed them, didn't clean their cage, and they just started smelling like the pussy you fingered when that got.
Did you tell it?
Yeah, I sat these crabs down and I said, listen, I've been there before too. But they just started stinking bad. And I remember their little dish of like water that you had to put these little like shrimpies in. And it just, everything was disgusting about these things. And they started dying and like of starvation and like malnourishment. And I'm really reluctant to say that because it's like so awful. But they just like start, like, I think we all know of a family or we've had a pet that we just didn't treat right.
Yeah.
And it like, I've one day in therapy and like when I was first going to therapy, I thought about these hermit crabs and I started sobbing more than I've ever cried in my whole life about how bad, I mean, I could do it right now, about how I just let it, and they weren't my responsibility. I didn't ask for these crabs. I had adults living at home that should have taken care of them and fed them. And I watched these animals die because I was too scared to get close to their cage and change the water and get in there and like feed them. And so I felt helpless and watched these animals like die from neglect. And like, yeah, that's one of my biggest regrets in life is like that I let that I witnessed that and let that happen. And like, that's, I think what spurred my like obsession with animal advocacy and just like, you know, just that, seeing that happen. But I will say that when it got down to like one or two crabs left, we snuck them. This is another horrible thing we did. We went to PetSmart and we put them in a bag and we put them in cages at PetSmart. We like put them into PetSmart because we knew they'd be
like
taken care of.
You left a baby like,
yeah,
on
it's
a,
like, that's the, do not do that. That happens all the time at zoos and at pet stores. Don't do that. Look for a better way to surrender your pets. Craigslist.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm reluctant to tell that story.
I had
story
to kill soft-shelled crabs when I worked at a fishmonger. I had to cut their heads off.
Oh my god!
It was wild, and their arms would still be moving. And I was I had to cut them with a scissor. And I was like, I do not want to do this.
Okay,
man.
What is your? Yeah, no, killing animals. You know what? I was just about to say I felt bad about that, telling that story. I don't eat animals, and maybe you do at home. So if you're judging me, you participate in the deaths of many animals if you eat them. And so I'm making up for it now. But Andrew.
All right. Kind of in the same vein, my brother decided to buy a Burmese python, which is a snake that gets to about, I don't know, let's say 22 feet.
Jesus Christ.
And he bought this thing, and... I mean, it's the most Florida pet ever. I mean, a snake.
What did your parents allow this?
I don't know if he really had a discussion. He just brought home. He also
younger
had a lizard, older brother.
Oh, you hate lizards.
He had a very fast, like big lizard.
I'm surprised
I don't know
you didn't
what
think
kind of
that
lizard.
One is your least favorite.
Yeah, this. Well, the snake was just like, we'd feed it mice, and
but that
was,
lizard got saved you a lot of money on car insurance. So
he did. He did, and I owe him.
Did the Burmese python help out with, you know, homeowners?
He actually, you want to know a crazy story? So we had a drug dealer neighbor.
Yeah.
Who he sold like pot. I actually took acid with him one time. He shot a gun into our house because I think he was mad at my stepbrother. And it went through the snake cage. It didn't kill the snake, but it hit the snake. I mean, what more Florida story than that? A guy shooting.
I mean, that's up there with you getting arrested for speeding on a jet ski in a Manatee zone.
Yeah, shooting a gun into our snake fucking cage.
So what happened to this Burmese python?
So this
python?
Is what happened. So my brother leaves for college, leaves the snake in care of my stepmom or my parents,
and
it dies.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know exactly how it died. I think my stepmom said that it killed itself. By
a shot to the head, yeah, through the wall.
But yeah, that fire. Thing. I mean, it's such a big and it's such a. Eventually, that animal is going to outgrow your house.
I feel so
unless
sad
you
animals.
Live in a fucking mansion. Like,
ugh, this is like a heartbreaking segment. Okay, Noah, do you have a bad pet that didn't die tragically?
We weren't allowed to have any pets when we were growing up, really, except for like a dog. Once I was a teenager, mm-hmm. I always wanted to have hamsters and rabbits and all these animals. We just were not allowed to. But at one point, I started looking into getting a bearded dragon. And I wanted a bearded dragon so bad, so bad. And then I didn't get one because when I realized that I had to feed it crickets and I had to like have like frozen mice in my freezer, yeah. I was like, this is
good for you doing a little research instead of just letting it starve to death because you didn't want to handle it.
Yeah, you buy these animals, you don't think 10 years down or 2 months down the line. And you don't think,
especially with dogs, people do not realize
how much money it's going to cost.
And cats, how much money at the end
and time
it's going to cost.
Yes.
You got to think about all that stuff.
Because you're like, oh, it's a cute puppy.
And just like, it's...
Bearded dragon, such a funny name, man. It's like a goatee cat or something. I don't know. Yeah. A cat wasn't a good pull, but like
a mustachioed ferret. Yeah, it is bearded. And like, I hate when bearded dragons, like, you know why they do that though? They don't have chins. And they're trying to look like they have chins.
Oh my God.
Something.
On Bumble.
They have bad jaw lines. Yeah,
more dominant.
On Bumblebee, which is their favorite dating app because that's what they eat.
I'm going to call my dick the bearded dragon from now on.
I was going to say a pussy joke about it because that does.
I know,
like
it does sound
like that sometimes. Okay, favorite pet. I mean, hands down, without a doubt.
Easy.
Kiwi.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bird kiwi. Parakeet I had when I was in fifth grade. He could do tricks. He would say, he would repeat things. He would. He was very smart. You'd say, flip the bird, and he would flip around on his thing. Or you'd say, do your trick, and then he would go to the corner of the cage and put one hand on each side and then flip into the corner of the cage. And it was just like, he was amazing. And, you know, he'd pick stuff out of my teeth. I had braces at the time. That was fun. He would, like, pick on my hangnails, which I loved. I'd be like, eat it. And he would just, like, rip them out, and I loved it. And then, and he also, famously one time.
I'd like to hear his side of the story on that.
Well, one time, he would always talk. You know, I've told the story before, but he would always be like, kiwi, kiwi, pretty bird, kiwi, bird, kiwi, 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 kiwi. Like, that was exactly how he talked. But sometimes he would do, like, our voices intermixed with it. But that he wouldn't do the voices and the cool stuff unless he didn't think we were listening. You know, like, he didn't want attention on him. But he was in our kitchen, like, his cage was in our kitchen. People were kind of, like, grossed out by it. But we didn't clip his wings. He could fly around. He was just so sweet. And my friends and I would always just have to, like, sit there at the table next to him and pretend like we weren't watching him and like kind of talk slowly and eat our cereal so that he would start talking, not thinking we were paying attention. And one time me and Huffy were eating Honey Bunches of Oats with almonds, which was our favorite cereal, and like eating, and we were just like being quiet so we could hear him, and he just was like, kiwi, 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 pretty bird, kiwi, mom, I hate my fucking middle name. Kiwi, kiwi, pretty kiwi. And we were both like, did he just say, mom, I hate my fucking middle name in your voice, Nikki? Like, we both heard it clear as day. And I don't hate my middle name. He just came up with but he said it clear as day, and we both heard it, and it was awesome.
It's so wild. I mean, how many times do you think he heard you say that over the years? Maybe
he probably
twice?
Just heard, like, mom, I hate. And then, like, fucking, he definitely heard every other word in our fucking house. And then middle name, I don't know. Maybe he said something else, but it sounded like middle name. Like, who knows?
And he did that one time.
Yeah, it was just like perfectly my voice. It was great. What was your favorite pet?
I don't know if this is cheating, but it's actually my older brother's
scabies
dog.
Oh.
That's actually my least favorite pet.
Were those the soft shell crabs you killed? Ripped their heads off? When you pulled them out of your skin.
Oh, scabies is the worst. Scary rabies. He's still alive, Hubert. He's an Italian Spinoni dog who I just, I love so much, man. He just reminds me of a grandpa. Maybe because my grandpas are dead and he looks like a grandpa.
I'm a little annoyed that you picked a dog that's not yours, but you didn't pick Luigi or Marion. But also, I didn't pick them, so I'll let it slide.
Well, this isn't about you.
I know it's not, but I just want to know, is he better than Marion and Luigi? And it's okay if he is.
He's better than one of them by far, and then the other one.
I know. We have a favorite.
I do have a favorite. Marion, I like more than Luigi. I mean,
you can't not. But Luigi...
But Luigi's a silent...
I think it's because we see ourselves in Luigi too much. He's scared. He doesn't trust. That's at least why, like, the things I hate about Luigi are the things that I hate about myself.
Yeah, I love that Marion just goes for it. His dick comes out
all the time. That's what I love.
I'm into that. He's the Louis C.K. of dogs.
Okay, so but you like Hubert because he just has, like, a grandpa energy. What do you mean by that?
He's just kind and
loving and, like, wants to bury his head.
Bury his head. He lays down with me in bed. He
likes to snuggle.
So snuggly. He makes, when you come into the, when he hasn't seen you in a while, you come into the house, he'll go grab any toy and bring it to you. He just has to find something. Cutie. He's like, I gotta find something for you until, like, you like me.
Yeah, like he's which, like, I didn't get my you energy. Anything. And then, yeah, yes, yeah. Yes.
And then, and he'll do this thing when you rub his ears. He'll just, like, he'll make this, like, just noise to let you know. The one thing he doesn't do, which I really respect, he doesn't lick. He'll never, like, you can't.
Yeah, whenever Marion licks, I grab her tongue gently and just hold on to it. And I go, you're going to learn. And then she's like, and I don't do it in a mean way. I just like to, like.
Oh, I love grabbing a dog's tongue.
Just grab it. It feels like my, honestly, my vagina a little bit. Like, it's a little dog's tongue. But.
Yeah, so I love that dog.
And I'm going to have it surgically removed.
My little brother's dog, just shout out to Tucker, who passed away yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, their oldest dog.
Aww, which was rest in peace, Tux.
Was a king Spaniard. Wait, what is it? What's it called?
Great way to honor him. Okay, so Noah. All right. What is your favorite animal? Is it Buzzy yet? Or you got to go with Bruins?
Favorite pet, Buzzy is working his way up, but it's going to be Bruno.
Yeah.
And, you know, just so we, my dad and my sister got
still
Bruno.
Laughing about
Andrew,
his
stop.
Terrible memorial to the great Spaniard or whatever the fuck is the dog was. Cocker Spaniel?
Cocker Spaniel? Yeah.
You okay?
Springer Spaniel?
I'm jealous that you can do that with a white sweatshirt. I would get bronzer all over myself. Really enjoy that you can cover your face and keep it covered. Okay, anyway, okay.
I gotta look. Bruno. Yes.
Bruno was my beagle who passed away last year at 15. And when my dad and my sister originally got him, I was like, you can't get a dog, because it was only like 2 months after our family golden retriever got hit by a car and died.
Aww.
And it was very traumatic. I was like, I don't want this dog. I want nothing to do with him. Fast forward 4 years later, I ended up taking the dog because my parents were just not like taking care of him. Like,
yeah,
they should take
it.
Care of.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And then Bruno's just been like an awesome companion to go through all of life's destructive moments.
Yes.
Like through my parents' divorce, through a financial insecurity, through one of my worst breakups. Bruno was always there for me as just like an unconditional loving companion.
Isn't that the best part about them? Is like, I was actually picturing Bruno like mitigating or like kind of like mediating your parents' divorce and then like helping you with your like taxes and getting your forms ready and being like, I can help you with these things. And like, I was actually like, oh my God, he's what a talented little dog.
Yeah, sign there.
Yeah.
Sign there. Sign there. Sign there. One more page. Sign there.
Just sign everywhere. There's a paw print. That's so cute.
Initial there.
King yeah,
Charles,
that's the best thing.
King Charles.
King Charles. Okay.
King Charles.
Little too late. And
that's for you, Tucker.
Final thought. I mean, that's why animals and pets are the greatest, is because they don't care what you look like. They don't care. They don't care about any. Like, they will. They don't care that you age. They don't care if your pussy smells. They actually prefer it.
Well, yeah, then they could find you in a room full of a million people.
Yeah.
I know where that pussy is.
It's just so sweet when an animal can sense that you need extra, like, love. And, like, need, like, they just pick up on, they're operating on a level that we aren't even in tune with those kinds of senses of, like, because they have to, they're so about, like, being, they're so close to being the, you know, they're domesticated most of the, for thousands of years, but they're closer to being in the wild than we are. So, like, they have instincts, you know, they can tell if a thunderstorm's coming, like, they just, like, can sense.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to realize that, like, how you are is what your dog is reading you, and they're looking to you to be a leader. And if they're not obeying you, like, they don't respect you, and they're reading that. They're reading that you don't deserve respect, and, like, you don't, like, that's kind of the thing.
Yeah, everything's, like, so, like, they're almost like autistic in a way of like, this is how I feel about you. And you're.
They do have a little bit of like, you know, Luigi does stuff sometimes that I go, wow, he like plant. He's acting away against. He's pretending to be something else. Like he'll do this thing where he knows there's a dog a quarter, a half a block away that he wants to like hang out for, but he knows that I want to keep walking.
Yes.
And he'll stop to smell something, and I'll let him smell it. But then I know he's done smelling it, but he'll just keep his nose there pretending like he's, because he knows that I will let him finish his smell, because I learned that you always let a dog finish their smell because it's like pulling them away from a movie that they're really invested in. And you want them to get the ending to it. Sometimes I'm like, it smells like a fucking dandelion. Let's go. I like spoil it for them. And they're like, spoiler alert. And but sometimes I like, he will just, I'll just sense him just like, pretending to smell, and I'll go, I know what you're doing. You're waiting for this dog. Yeah. Like you're lying to me right now. The other night I was about to give them a bath, and I didn't even say it, but I started running the water and like waiting for it to get warm, and Luigi just starts shaking furiously. And he's not cold. He's not. I've never hurt him in the bath. If anything, I do baths because he gets so spunky and free after. He loves at when I dry him off. It gets him in the best mood. And he smelled, but the shaking was all to make me go, I don't want to do this to you. Like, it's premeditated to get a response out of me, and it's not based on how he's actually feeling, maybe. Like,
yeah, it's like when you try to brush my teeth. I'm just like,
yeah, you start just shivering, and I go, it's not cold in here. Yeah, I think that animals are just so, thank God.
Also,
for them.
It's like, I think we did the dialogue about the hermit crab and the snake. If we could learn anything, like, just because they're ugly creature, like, don't judge an animal by their ugliness or they're willing to do whatever you want them to do. And they're not lesser than these other animals.
Oh, I guess are you going to stop eating?
No, I'm going to keep eating snake.
You were starting to sound like a vegan, but second there.
No, I'm just saying
your logic is very vegan.
I know, but as a pet is what I'm saying. And then look. Thanks for listening to the show today.
Listen, we won't get into vegan stuff, but that was a thing that, like, when I make the joke of, like, when I got dogs, that's when I was like, oh, my God, every animal is a dog. It's, like, has that in it. And I hadn't felt that way with my family's dogs. I never felt really connected to. But when Marion got ripped apart by that German shepherd and was like, I thought she was gonna die, like the way my parents described it, the way they said that, like,
oh my
the,
god
the
it vet, was brutal.
I mean, this was before we saw the wound, but the wound itself, I was like, she's not gonna make it even after she's got stitched up and like is able to leave the hospital. Like, this is gonna get infected, something's gonna happen, it's not gonna heal. You literally can't even find the scar anymore. I don't even understand how she healed. But I remember I got the call from my mom that Marion was probably not gonna make it, and I was like, I'm just going to go like pray for her. And I walked in my room and Luigi's just like in his little bed curled up. And I was just like, Luigi, we're going to like, Marion's really not doing well right now. And I just like, and usually he doesn't want to like cuddle. He's a little bit like me. Like, he's just like kind of tense when you try to cuddle him, but he just like leaned into it and like felt that I needed it. And like, we sent our energy. Like, I knew he knew something was wrong with Marion. I mean, I don't think he knew, but like,
he knew through you.
There was something he knew. He knew something was wrong, and that we needed to like spend that time and like be thoughtful about her and like send energy out there. And it was just like, and I didn't say like, please God, let Marion live. I just said like, let Marion's fate be exactly what needs to happen, whether she dies or she lives. Like, whatever's gonna have the best results, let that happen. And apparently, it's that she lived. That's going to yield better results than if she died.
I can see your mom going, just kidding, JD died again. It's not Marion.
I go, oh God.
Thank God.
Thank God. He died twice. Oh, good. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We are going to be back tomorrow, Tuesday, with a fresh episode that will be current.
Freshy.
And make sure to, if you're listening, look for this one on YouTube on Wednesday, hopefully. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you comment and like and subscribe. But also, you know, don't actually comment whatever you want. I'm not going to read it. But I do appreciate the subscribe. And I hope you and just send it to your friends if you liked it. Or, do all of that. I appreciate all the support. I really love you guys. And we'll see you on the road. And we'll don't be cuh. And
change.